If you wanna do right by your appetite, if you're fussy about your food, take a choo-choo today, head New England way, and we'll put you in the happiest mood with Shoe Fly Pie, an apple pan, and Dowdy makes your eyes light up and your tummy say howdy. Shoe Fly Pie, an apple pan, Dowdy, I'll never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Oh, Shoe Fly Pie, an apple pan, Dowdy makes the sun come out when the heavens are cloudy. Shoe Fly Pie, an apple pan, Dowdy, I'll never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Oh, mama.
Hello and welcome to Your Homegrown Food. I'm your host, Jonna. This is a show all about food, and today's topic is gleaning. What is gleaning, some of you might ask? So, I'll read you the dictionary definition. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, I had it. I lost it. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's short. To collect loose grain and other useful remnants of a crop left in a field after harvesting. And now I'll read you the Wikipedia entry. Gleaning is the act of collecting leftover crops from farmers' fields after they have been commercially harvested or on fields where it is not economically profitable to harvest. Some ancient cultures promoted gleaning as an early form of a welfare system. In the Bible, according to the Holiness Code and the Deuteronomic Code of the Torah, farmers should leave the corners of their fields unharvested, and they should not attempt to harvest any leftovers that had been forgotten when they had harvested the majority of a field. On one of the two occasions that this is mentioned by the Holiness Code, it adds that in vineyards, some grapes should be left ungathered, an argument made also by the Deuteronomic Code. The Deuteronomic Code additionally argues that olive trees should not be beaten on multiple occasions, and whatever remains from the first set of beatings should be left. According to the Holiness Code, these things should be left for the poor and for strangers, while the Deuteronomic Code argues instead that it should be left for widows, strangers, and for paternal orphans. Beliefs in early European culture lead to the construction of corn dollies to protect the spirit of the fields after the harvest. In the classical era and dark ages, in classical rabbinic literature, it was argued that the biblical regulations concerning leftovers only applied to cornfields, orchards, and vineyards, and not to vegetable gardens. The classical rabbinical writers were much stricter in regard to who could receive the remains. It was stated that the farmer was not permitted to benefit from the gleanings and was not permitted to disseminate among the poor, nor to try to frighten them away with dogs or lions. The farmer was not even allowed to help one of the poor to gather leftovers. However, it was also argued that the law was only applicable in canon, although many classical rabbinic writers who were based in Babylon applied the laws there too. It was also seen as only applying to Jewish paupers, but poor non-Jews were allowed to benefit for the sake of civil peace. Modern times, the Shulchan Aruch argues that Jewish farmers are no longer obliged to obey the biblical rule. Nevertheless, in modern Israel, rabbis of Orthodox Judaism insist that Jews allow gleanings to be consumed by the poor and by strangers during sabbatical years. In 19th century England, gleaning was a legal right for cottagers. In a small village, the sexton would often ring a church bell at 8 o'clock in the morning and again at 7 in the evening to tell the gleaners when to begin and end work. In the modern world, gleaning is practiced by humanitarian groups which distribute the gleaned food to the poor and hungry. In a modern context, this can include the collection of food from supermarkets at the end of the day that would otherwise be thrown away. There are a number of organizations that practice gleaning to resolve issues of societal hunger. The Society of St. Andrews, for example, is dedicated to the role. When people glean and distribute food, they may be bringing themselves legal risk. In the Soviet Union, the law of Spikulets, sometimes translated law on gleaning, criminalized gleaning under penalty of death or 20 years of forced labor in exceptional circumstances. In the USA, the Bill Emerson Good Samaritan Food Donation Act, a law enacted in 1996, limited the liability of donors to instances of gross negligence or intellectual misconduct, alleviating gleaning from much of its definitions of the Good Samaritan Act. To consistently deliver surplus food from restaurants and dining facilities to emergency food centers, gleaning has been studied artistically as well as legally. Gleaning in rural France has been represented in the paintings d'Esclanius, 1857, by Jean-François Millet, and Le Rappel d'Esclanius, 1859, by Jules Breton, and explored in a 2000 documentary experimental film, The Gleaners and I, by Angie Svarda. Vincent van Gogh's sketch of peasant woman gleaning in Nieuwenen, Netherlands, 1885, is in the Charles Clore collection. So the reason I'm talking about this today is because I went to a gleaning event on Sunday. It was put on by Transition Santa Cruz's Food Working Group. We went to a horse farm in Watsonville and picked plums from the many trees they have there. I think that some of the plums went to Gray Bears and Second Harvest, and I know that the one bag full of plums that I picked, I made plum jam out of the ripest plums, and I plan to make another batch of jam and some plum paste with the rest. And I have a really nice book with recipes for preserving food called Preserve It, Bottled Fruits, Jams, and Jellies, and Pickles and Cured Meats. It's a great book, and there's lots of fabulous recipes in there, including plum paste, which I'll let y'all know how that goes. And at this gleaning event I went to on Sunday, there was a couple of local groups represented who I'll mention to you now. One was called Gleaning Stories, and they have a website, which is humweb.ucsc.edu/gleaningstories. So it's humweb.ucsc.edu/gleaningstories. And the Gleaning Stories Project collects and broadcasts the stories of gleaners in the Salinas Valley. And they have audio of gleaners' stories and a photo gallery of the gleaners collecting surplus food for the hungry. So that looks like a neat thing. And through that group, I also found out about Ag Against Hunger, which is a group, and their little mission statement on their website is agagainsthunger.org. It says, the Central Coast of California offers an abundance of natural resources. In these fertile Salinas and Pajaro Valleys, more fruits and vegetables are grown, packed, and shipped than in any other region in the world. Yet in the midst of this abundance, there are many who are hungry. Ag Against Hunger was founded to provide hungry people with nutritious, fresh, surplus produce from local fields. Ag Against Hunger's mission is to alleviate hunger by providing the necessary link between the agricultural community and food assistance organizations. In the 20 years since its inception, Ag Against Hunger has provided over 160 million pounds of fresh produce to people in need throughout California and the West Coast. And if you'd like to get involved with Ag Against Hunger, if you'd like to volunteer, this coming Saturday, July 24th, is the next chance for you to glean, if you'd like to glean with this group. Volunteers go out to farms in the area and pick the leftover vegetables, or whatever it is, fruit, I suppose. And there's more information. You can get more information about volunteering with this group on their website, agagainsthunger.org. And sounds like a super cool, neato thing to do if you're into that sort of a thing. And I guess the stuff they pick goes to the hungry, so that's cool. People who don't have access to fresh food. And I believe you can take some home with you, too, if you decide to volunteer with that group. Let's see. And the other thing I was going to tell you about is there's another group doing some another local group that's doing some public gleaning. It's Food Not Lawns, which y'all may have heard of. They're working with another group called Fallen Fruit. And Food Not Lawns has a website. As you may have guessed, it's scfoodnotlawns.weebly.com. And I'll put a link to this and all the other websites I mentioned on my Facebook page. And you can find that by going to Facebook and looking for Your Homegrown Food Show. And I have a link to Food Not Lawns there and all the other stuff I talked about. And on their website, in regards to the Fallen Fruit, it says, Mapping Santa Cruz Public Food. Fallen Fruit is an organization that began exploring our relationship with fruit and mapping fruit trees on public land in Los Angeles. They have currently mapped fruit tree locations in 15 cities in several countries. A map of Santa Cruz, however, it still does not exist, and we are filling the gap. You can include all fruit trees that are in public parks, on the side of the road, or overhanging fences in the local Santa Cruz area. If you have more fruit than you can eat or do not harvest, include your location. Please do your best not to disturb residents in the area, and remember that you can always ask if a tree is on someone's property. We haven't yet figured out how to make this map completely open to be edited, unfortunately, but we can add people to the list. So if you would like to edit the map, you can do one of the following. Email us a request to be added to the collaborators list, or you can email the contact location of the tree or bush with a description of where it is located, and we will add it to the map. So they have this handy little map there here on their website, and it's got locations of all the trees or bushes, I guess, where you can glean some food. And it looks like they're asking for people to contribute. So go ahead and check this out at scfoodnotlawns.weebly.com/fallen-fruit.html. And you can find that on my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show. You can find that link and check that out. And that sounds like a good way to find some surplus food in the area that people are not eating and might like you to come and take away. I'd like to say more about that Fallen Fruit group. Actually, I think I'll play you guys a clip here on their website that's about their organization, fallenfruit.org.
Yeah. that's the fruit, and you're the public.
The basic core idea of Fallen Fruit is to think about your neighborhoods and the places you live and how you relate to that particular neighborhood or location, and then the city at large. We choose fruit because maybe in the past it was stuck to location, right? 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you'd only eat what was in your region. And now in the past one or two generations, we all eat the same bananas, for example. They all come from the same parts of the world. So our relationship to food and our relationship to our city has changed. If people plant the front edge or along the alley, then for many generations the tree will give back, because what we realize and what people often overlook is that trees are often residents of a city much longer than the people who live here. We like all kinds of trees, of course, but the ones that give fruit we like the best.
So you can check out Fallen Fruit by going to their website, fallenfruit.org, and find out if there's some fruit or other food available for gleaning in your area. And if you're in the Santa Cruz area, Food Not Lawns, it sounds like they're working on mapping fruit in the Santa Cruz area. And one more gleaning sort of a thing I'd like to talk about. I found out about a website called Free Farm Stand, thefreefarmstand.org, and it's a group in San Francisco, and they have a farm, but they also give away gleaned produce, and I'll read you a little bit about them. The Free Farm Stand, a project of the No Penny Opera, a tax-exempt organization, is about sharing the wealth of urban farms and gardens. We are dedicated to aiding the food security and health of our community through garden and food education and the growth, harvest, and dispersal of organic backyard and community-grown produce. We support the right of all people to have access to fresh, nourishing food, and we believe that empowering youth and adults to take part in their local food system can create change that will systematically improve the way we eat. We also believe that food education will improve our health and well-being as a whole. We especially like to partner and work with people with common values and convictions. Our organizations, the Free Farm Stand Urban Share Community Garden Project, under the sponsorship of Welcome Ministry, Produce to the People, Cultivate SF, Stanford Glean, the Community Garden at Holy Innocent Episcopal Church, the Secret Garden, Esperanza Garden Center for Sustainable Living, and the San Francisco Permaculture Guild have formed a partnership by working together on garden projects in San Francisco. We are focused on ensuring access to healthy food for underserved and low-income members of our community. We are convinced that we can only achieve food security through a collective effort, and we are committed to working together towards a more sustainable and healthy food system in San Francisco. Our goal is to create a successful model that can be replicated by local communities worldwide. What they currently do is we grow as much food as we can in San Francisco with a focus on our mission neighborhood and distribute it for free at our Sunday Free Farm Stand. We also have been partnering with the SF Permaculture Guild, turning a 17-year-old vacant lot on Potrero Hill into a food forest. We have just started working with several groups and starting a farm and neighborhood garden resource center in the Civic Center neighborhood at Goth and Eddy Streets. We offer garden advice and help to those who want to put in a backyard garden. We grow seedlings and starts to give away and other plants. We offer a place where neighbors can come and share their extra produce that they have grown with others. We provide a drop-off place for local organic surplus food from both local gardeners and organic farmers. We offer a weekly gathering spot where neighbors can get to know each other and share their diverse culture and traditions. We harvest organic fruit from backyard fruit trees and public spaces, give it away at the Free Farm Stand. We give away honey from local beekeepers and educate neighbors about bees and gentle beekeeping. So, sounds like they have a lot of gleaned food that they give away at their farm stand. So it sounds like a really cool model that maybe could be replicated in other places. Or if you are in the San Francisco area, maybe you can go check them out and get yourself some free food. Or volunteer with this organization. Their website is thefreefarm.org. And again, I'll have a link to that on my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show. So check that out. That sounds neat. And yeah, if you would like more information about anything I talked about, go to my Facebook page and check out all the links to all those cool websites and get involved in gleaning, I suppose. Sounds like a worthy cause if you have the time. So if gleaning does not provide you with all the fresh food you need and you would like to try gardening, or if you already grow food, and then this information is for you. Now's a good time to start thinking about your fall and winter garden. So I'm going to read from Golden Gate Gardening, my favorite gardening book for the Northern and Central California coast, because we get lots of fog here. So this book is good for this area. And in the remaining 7 or 10 minutes or so that I have, I will read Planning for a Winter Harvest. So I know it's only July, but it's good to start thinking about the next season. And we're kind of in a transition time in terms of gardening. It's too late to plant summer crops, but it's a perfect time to start seeds for your fall and winter garden. So I'll read you to you what Pam Pierce, the author of Golden Gate Gardening, has to say. Even with planting charts, many local gardeners find it a challenge to make full use of our winter gardening season. It is often hard to find time to go into the garden for very long during the short, cold, wet winter days. Night comes so early that we may still be in the middle of our commute when it falls. Happily, winter gardens give back a lot for a small amount of time spent harvesting and weeding. With a little planning and some preparation earlier in the year, you could be harvesting fresh leeks, chard, arugula, carrots, beets, parsnips, broccoli, cabbage, parsley, cilantro, a number of herbs, and more from winter into spring. Even if you have only one of these crops to harvest in winter, you are gardening year-round, but why not try for a few more? Most of the planting for winter harvests is done well before the rains start, so the crops are either off to a good start or ready for harvest by the time the unpleasant part of winter sets in. Look over the planting calendars in this book. You can find planting calendars online, too. There's one I know of through Master Gardeners. It's the Central Coast Master Gardeners. They have a planting calendar that you can check out. Or you can look at this book, Golden Gate Gardening, and look at her planting calendar. Is really good. It's very detailed. Leeks can be planted the previous spring to mature in a corner of your garden into fall fat stems for winter soups. Broccoli plants set out in late summer make fall or even late winter crops. If you want to grow one of the few crops that are usually planted in fall after rain start, such as garlic, peas, fava beans, or artichoke roots, you can prepare the soil well ahead of time. On warm fall days, clear the area where you will grow these crops, fertilize, and dig them. Mulch the bed and keep the soil somewhat moist until the rains are underway. When the time comes to plant, you will need only an hour or two of decent weather to get the seeds or plants into the ground. The same treatment is good for plots where you plan to plant a winter cover crop. If there are plots you intend to leave fallow or unplanted until spring, you can just weed and mulch them, skipping the fertilizing and digging till time to plant spring crops. Winter is easier on the gardener in that there's little or no watering to do. Even when there is an occasional dry spell, watering may not be needed since the soil will dry more slowly during the shorter, colder winter days. This also means that crops are not using up precious water from reservoirs. Crops need less thinning, tying, staking, and other types of attention since they are growing more slowly, and insect pests are fewer. Broccoli and cabbage are free of imported cabbage worms and cabbage root maggots. Leaf miners leave the Swiss chard and beets alone. It is true that weeds grow in winter. In fact, their growth tells you how ideal our winter weather can be. Is good for this area. And in the remaining 7 or 10 minutes or so that I have, I will read Planning for a Winter Harvest. So I know it's only July, but it's good to start thinking about the next season. And we're kind of in a transition time in terms of gardening. It's too late to plant summer crops, but it's a perfect time to start seeds for your fall.